Welcome to the EduBoxes podcast. In a three-part podcast mini-series, we will be hearing from experts on intercultural communication, virtual intercultural teams, and design thinking as a framework for solving complex problems. We live in a time where innovation is the key to business success, and problems are becoming increasingly complex. In this environment, methods like design thinking offer a reliable way to tackle these challenges. Design thinking is a powerful, user-centric approach that prioritizes users' needs and enables teams to quickly create prototypes instead of getting stuck in endless research and planning. Design thinking fosters collaboration within diverse teams, and it encourages novel approaches to problem solving. But how can teams begin using design thinking to improve collaboration? Let's meet Erik Schump. As an agile coach with years of experience in design thinking, he's here to share his insights. Welcome, Erik. Glad to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
So you work as an agile coach, among many other things, as far as I understand. From your perspective, from your experience, what's the benefit of design thinking as a creative problem-solving method?
First, could I intervene a little bit and replace the word problem with challenge that you used before? And I rather prefer the word challenge because it's a little bit more neutral. Challenges can be solved and problems always have that aspect of being negative. I think challenges per se are not negative. So it's a positive manner. And what I try to do with design thinking is to tackle these challenges in a positive way, right? This is the first thing where you start with a kind of a mindset, really. It's more a mindset that you are able to deal with the challenges in a certain way.
Some kind of self-empowerment of looking at it like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Okay. And this is, I think, a huge part when you start working with people or diverse groups, when you start working with design thinking, that you start working on the mindset with them. Because for me, design thinking is, the first part is the mindset, that you are able to deal with challenges, that you do not need to be perfect. You know, an 80-20 solution is perfectly fine. Failure culture is part of it as well. So we as Germans are usually used to have a 100% perfect solution. We don't need to have that in design thinking. And this is a little bit a kind of the mindset shift that I try to accomplish in my workshops usually, right? But that was not your question. Could you repeat your question?
No, that's already kind of an answer because from what I get, the original question was about benefits of design thinking. And as far as I understand you, another part of my question was wrong. I said method, but you were referring to mindset, to working cultures, to failure cultures and stuff like that. So it's more of a multidimensional approach than just one single method that I throw at a problem.
Or when I train design thinking, I give three aspects. It's a mindset. It's a collection of methods, which I would rather summarize under the third framework. And then it's a process, which we all know from Hasso-Plattner Institute or D-School in Stanford, that five or six steps, which are usually adopted. So the mindset for me is the most important part indeed, right?
And the one where you start.
And you can combine methods from different innovation methods like Lean Six Sigma, which is 40 years old. You can put that in the design thinking framework also, as long as people live that mindset.
You know? All right. Okay. So I'm trying to imagine how teams benefit from this in a maybe even practical way. So a team might be stuck with a challenge or a problem. Maybe from their perspective, it's still a problem and you need to come through the door and talk to them about thinking of it as a challenge. They might be a bit lost. They might be a bit maybe following the old paths of the past instead of like trying to come up with new ways of innovating. Is there a practical example or a specific use case that you might be able to share, even though I know that sharing work with clients can be a sensitive subject?
That was the picture that just came to my mind. I had, I think 2 months ago, a workshop with 16 people. They are indeed one team. They have to deal with financials somehow. And they are working in public services. And they are very much under pressure and stressed. And the topic was, you know, each design thinking workshop or project begins with a challenge. And we named the challenge like a how might we, right?
Okay.
And the challenge we had there was how might we escape our hamsters wheel? They really were, you know, so much under stress and they wanted to work on how can they get a little bit relief in their daily work. They were 16 people. Mm-hmm. That was a huge group. They were one team indeed. And what we achieved in 2 days was exactly to finding really, really good solutions for their topics. And we had 16 different people from one team. They had different tasks. They were really diverse, not only from the gender perspective. They were not so much diverse because I had 14 ladies and only 2 men, which is very unusual, but was funny. The age group was very diverse, yeah, that I had. And they were so multinational. I had people from Africa, from Bulgaria, from Germany, from the US. That was a multinational. It was really great, right? And their idea and their cultural background, of course, all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm, that was thrown into that 2 days workshop where we found really amazing solutions, I would say. Yeah.
So that sounds a bit like design thinking, if you think of it as a framework, is also able to, dare I say, cope with differences, because kind of, as far as I understand it, you create somewhat a level playing field for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, hierarchy doesn't play a huge role in design thinking. Of course, somebody as a project lead or the CEO of a company might come with a certain halo, mm-hmm, and kind of bring that in the room. But design thinking, as far as I understand it, is one of those frameworks or methods or approaches that enables you to kind of create a level playing field for at least those 2 days as much as you can, yes, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I did not like your word cope so much. I, mm-hmm, would like to replace this with leverage. Design, mm-hmm, thinking, if you moderate it in my way, correct way, I would say I leverage, you know, consciously diversity to get better results. So it's one of the key success factors. Mm-hmm. It's not only coping with something bad, it's really the opposite. It's a key to use it to get better, mm-hmm, results. Mm-hmm. Right. For that, that's my mindset towards it. And exactly when I start, you know, in Germany we say du und sie, mm-hmm, and usually I start to get that leveling exactly, mm-hmm, right, that I say, We are using the workshop do, as I would say it in Germany, yeah, that we say nobody is in a hierarchy upper or below. We are all on the same level. And this I want to make clear. And this I can do with some embodiment exercises, mm-hmm, which I like to blend in my workshops also, that they work together and they do some kind of embodiment exercises where the people get closer. It makes fun. It relieves them and their, you know, partially they, yeah, stuck in their bodies a bit. And so it brings them on one level. So, yeah.
And it helps them lose their old habits and ways, yes, a bit for those, yeah, 2 days, right?
And, mm-hmm, this is so interesting. Mm-hmm. As we just talked about that team, I told you they're working with financials. They, yeah, are perfectly organized.
Of course.
With Excel files up and down. And then I did the first embodiment warm-up game with them. A simple game. We went outside the room. We had a green field. And I said, we start. They first started asking questions. How should we do that correct? They wanted to do it correct, right? And I said, relief, just start doing it. We do it. It's not a thing of doing it perfect.
It's not a test.
But they were used to do everything perfect, yeah, right? And now train them not to be perfect. Failure culture. This is, again, the mindset part. And they liked it, but it was hard for them.
And ideally, in like 2 years after your workshop, they'll come back to that moment maybe and think, you remember when we did the 80-20 thing, when we, yeah, didn't have to do this perfectly? Mm. This might be good enough for this exact challenge that we're facing right,
exactly,
now, right?
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had another group of, you know, in the academic area where I had scientific contributors and professors, etc. Mm-hmm. And here you find in the academic space much more hierarchy. Usually they stick more to the hierarchy. Mm-hmm. And they are really a little bit irritated when I said, hey, now we are on one level and nobody is better than the others. And in one workshop, I allowed one team of professors to collaborate. And I can tell you, they did not get any good results because they, mm-hmm, discussed on their hierarchic high level, mm-hmm, with all their huge power, what they have, their knowledge, and they did not came to results. When you mix it, when you get that heterogeneously in that again, then you better get results. Yeah, they are more encouraged to prepare something and not discuss everything. Yeah.
Get things done instead, mm-hmm, of staying, yeah, on that meta level, mm-hmm, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So you've talked a lot about diverse teams benefiting, mm-hmm, and even leveraging the different methods and approaches in design thinking, mm-hmm, to get to some new way of thinking and a solution. Are there any challenges that you face in implementing design thinking? So if it were so easy, we wouldn't need you to come into the room, for example, right? Mm-hmm. So what are the maybe stepping stones that one should take if they wanted to start implementing these frameworks? Mm. What are maybe some common failures that people stumble upon? Is there like one or two or three maybe things that you're frequently dealing with in that sense?
Oh, I would say each project is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Mostly it's always successful. What I have in mind is just an example of a project I had 3 years ago with a client of mine in Frankfurt. It's a software company, a mid-sized software company, 60 employees, and I do organizational consulting there and team development. And one of the topics that we had, we wanted to prepare that 10 teams of that companies to be able to deal with that agile VUCA world, right? Mm-hmm. And I suggested to the leadership that we train them on design thinking. We wanted to have in each team one person who's trained on design thinking as a complex solving methodology, a problem solving methodology. And we did that. We did a workshop on a topic that they had. One topic they had was, how do we train our people right? Right. And we had a workshop, a purely virtual workshop, which worked very, very well. And we had good results for that really whole project. But what I did not succeed with, that I could make that design thinking mindset sustainable in that team. And that was because one success factor would have been that we mm-hmm. would have found in each team a little playground, an area where that person could have applied that design thinking methodology. They uh-huh. did not do that. I tried to found a group or community of practice. During their daily business, they were not able to join that group. And so mm-hmm. we could not keep that mood alive, I would say. And that was a pity, I must say. So that
didn't quite make the transfer to everyday organizational life.
Yeah. Community of practice would mm. be a good tool, I would say. Mm-hmm. I did it in another context and there it worked, but in that company, not. And one thing was, you need to have in the agile environment anyway, always leadership support. If the top leadership does not support something and says, hey, you are allowed, you should do that, and you should not be 100% chargeable with client accounts, mm-hmm. and what does that mean? Of course, you get some free time to live that and to implement that. So it was a little bit that leadership topic also, that the top C-levels did not want it, that people to proceed like that. That was one thing.
And I
that
can imagine, yeah.
Anything else? No, I think that was the top two things here. Mm-hmm. Mm.
So buy-in from leadership. I'll put that down as a key factor. Eric, our time's already up. It's been fun talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your
time. Mm-hmm.
I hope everybody listening in is kind of intrigued and interested in looking at the EduBox on design thinking that you mm-hmm. co-created, I think, to
exactly.
some part.
Exactly, yeah.
And I hope they follow up on that. And there are some links to what you mentioned in the show notes as well. Mm-hmm. Eric, thank you again.
Thank you very much for your support here. Thank you.
The EduBoxes podcast is part of a project by the Hamburg Open Online University. This three-part podcast mini-series is coming to an end with this episode. If you're interested in finding out more about the topics we discussed, please be invited to the EduBoxes online course. There's a link in the show notes that will take you there.